Good evening and welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to The Boiling Point, the 14th episode for this year, and a very happy International Women's Day week to you.
The Boiling Point contains mature subject matter. Discretion is advised. If you are sensitive to serious information, well, too f***ing bad. Put on your grown-up pants and grab a f***ing pacifier, you baby.
So this week of The Boiling Point is the International Women's Day edition. Yes, that's right. Thank you. Of course. And the show will be focused on celebrating the notable achievements of some very special women who have inspired me and who I hold in the highest esteem as incredible people who have shaped history and contributed to the world in incomparable ways. But before we get into that, I just want to take a brief look back at this past week. Did anything interesting happen this week? Like, any fires almost burned down the world? Nah, just your usual trolling around the internet. Though some skirmishes threatened to burn down the reputations of some pretty high-profile celebrities as icons clashed over their definition of expressing feminism. What's that you say? A celebrity causing a dramatic episode? Get the f*** out of here. That could never happen. That would be like, I don't know, leaving the fate of global relations in the hands of a crazy spoiled brat who hasn't had his nap or his afternoon snack. Oh. Wait a second. Anyway, have you heard about this? It's pretty good. On Wednesday, which was the nominal day for International Women's Day, where women all over the world are acknowledged for being awesome, though they're awesome every day, there was an almost fatal crash between the heralded Harry Potter wizard and the Queen of Pop. That's right. Hermione Granger tried to take the punch out of some lemonade. Get it? Allow me to clarify. Emma Watson has been known for some time as being a vocal advocate and activist for feminism, and we love her for it. But she took some heat earlier this week for expressing herself in what was considered an offensive manner to the feminist world. Well, that's not true. That's not true. It was basically a split over who the f*** cares and how dare you pretend to support us and let your tits hang out. It was actually quite interesting. So here we are celebrating women, which should happen every day, but it's one day out of the year besides Mother's Day where the spotlight deservedly shines on women and women are lacerating each other. The controversy was over Emma getting angry with critics for calling her a bad feminist for displaying her body in a way that would typically pander to men, but, plot twist, she was apparently found guilty of doing the same thing a few years ago. Oh yeah. She apparently didn't agree back then with how Beyoncé expresses herself in a sexual way in her videos that's objectifying of women while being a strong image and example of feminism on the world stage, according to the Huffington Post anyway. The Beehive didn't like it too much though, and basically told Emma to shut the f*** up. Small snippet of Twitter reactions. Emma Watson's a hypocrite. Now that she's being attacked for the same thing she attacked Beyoncé for 5 years ago, it's a problem. Girl, bye. Things got nasty, and thus far, no response from Hermione. She wasn't the only one though, no sir. Nobody's safe. Sophie Gregoire Trudeau, the First Lady of our nation, the Prime Minister's wife, also received some stern rebukes from the Twitterverse because she posted a picture of her and her husband holding hands while the caption read in part, "Let's celebrate the boys and men in our lives who encourage us to be who we truly are, who treat girls and women with respect, and who aren't afraid to speak up in front of others." I mean, that's not a bad thought, at least to me. It sounds sincere and genuine, but she got roasted like chestnuts over an open fire. I thought it was a nice gesture to show how much she cares about her husband and her sons, right? I mean, in turn, she asked others to post their pictures of the male allies in their lives with the hashtag tomorrow in hand. Pretty fitting, right? Well, you'd think so. And then word got around the Donald Trump of what they were up to, and he said, I don't see what the big deal is. If she would have said p*** in hand, it might have gotten a better reaction. I don't know. Anyway, that's the recent buzz if you're a Beyoncé and Hermione fan. Or just a fan of, I don't know, public figure headlines? Let's get right into our content for tonight though, and what great content we have. Are you ready? Because we're about to take a trip down famous lane of some of the most badass achievements of women in history. Where to start though? I'd be doing an injustice if I didn't touch on what would probably be perceived as the biggest cliched choice I could make, but I have to because the message and the impact on modern perspective just can't be ignored. So, Mary Wollstonecraft, not the only strong woman in the history of humanity, but one noted for her contribution to the academic world that was dominated by men during her time. In Europe, anyway. The talking heads of European 18th century were more interested in subjugating women and denying them liberation to either think for themselves or even live free of a man's guidance. Typically, in her time over there, women were prepped for marriage, and this was the only aspiration and ambition for a young girl as she was growing up, hoping to make herself attractive enough that some men would deem her worthy of their affection and support her for life. Independence and enterprise were not the norm for an unmarried woman back then, but Mary expressly disagreed with this and is most widely known for her book, A Vindication of the Rights of Woman. In it, she chronicled the dismal prospects for a woman who could not receive the same education as a man, and that a woman's life would not only be unfulfilling, but scandalous that, as a creature of God, made in God's own image, has to relegate herself to appealing to a man to complete and satisfy the longings of her mind and her soul. Though she experienced hardship in her own personal relationships, she still overcame her challenges to be a successful writer and icon of feminism, both during her time and to date. So for this reason, at least in my books, she makes the top of the list for Women's History Month. Up next, an icon of the civil rights movement, a powerful activist, an outspoken author and academic, Angela Davis. The name Angela Davis is synonymous with the words Black Panther. To discuss or contemplate this group, one has to acknowledge her connection with their legacy. Born in 1944, Davis hails from Birmingham, Alabama, a place in the United States known for its violent history against Black Americans. Davis was friends with the victims of the church bombing in Birmingham in 1963, and due to such experiences she had encountered in the South, she moved north where there was less radical racism at the time. After completing her education in philosophy, she was hired to teach at UCLA, but was found to be in conflict with school policy by her association with communism as she joined an all-Black Communist Party as well as the Black Panthers while studying. Davis has a decorated career as a scholar and an author, but she's most known for her involvement and imprisonment in connection with a botched escape attempt during a 1970 trial that killed several people in attendance. At present, Davis is a guest lecturer and still recognized for her contributions as an activist and her literary work, and has most recently been awarded a Doctor of Humane Letters in Healing and Social Justice from the California State Institute of Integral Studies in May of last year. Next up, we'll talk about a miraculous superstar who stared death in the eye, literally, and told it where to go as she's blazing a trail with her own story of what it means to be a feminist in this crazy world. Welcome back to The Boiling Point. Thanks for sticking around. You're listening to GQ on Radio Laurier, and this is the International Women's Day, Women's History Month edition, when we're celebrating the extraordinary accomplishments of women in our time, and we're about to get into an incredibly amazing young woman who literally overcame a near-fatal attempt on her life because of her advocacy for women's rights. This young woman should have died in the attack on her life, but her will to live is as defiant as her will to excel. From before she was a teenager, she had been organizing in protest against the limitation of girls' education in her home country of Pakistan. Writing anonymously on a BBC Urdu blog before becoming publicly acknowledged for her undercover reporting of the Taliban presence in her community, she quickly became the voice of resistance that was needed as girl-only institutions were shut down and girls were prevented from attending school. But with her recognition came danger. Threats began pouring in from the Taliban, publishing death threats in the newspapers that this infidel must be silenced, and in 2012, Malala Yousafzai was shot in the head by a Taliban gunman while she was traveling home after an exam. Leading up to this attack, Malala had already been a celebrated activist, winning the National Youth Peace Prize a year earlier. Her family has always encouraged her to vocalize her opinions on politics, going all the way back to before she had even reached double digits when her father would let her stay up past normal bedtime to discuss world affairs. But her real voice emerged when she was selected to be the writer for the BBC Urdu blog to explain in her own words what it was like to live in a conflict area where global news coverage was limited. BBC Urdu wanted to capture what the experience was like from an everyday person's perspective. Now, having made a full recovery thanks to national and international medical support, Yousafzai is a world-traveling speaker for women's rights, and particularly as an advocate for women's right to education. She's been profiled on the New York Times, CNN, CBC, ABC, BBC. She's been on Ellen. That's when you know you've really made it. and is the youngest ever laureate of the Nobel Peace Prize. She's a real rock star, and if you don't know who Malala is, you should get to know her. Her spirit and determination are exemplary, and she's a role model for both children and adults alike. Next, we head home to Canada to find our next superhero. In 1996, she successfully convicted the president of Serbia for war crimes after all the atrocities he commissioned in the area. She has been the High Commissioner for Human Rights of the United Nations, a Supreme Court Justice of Canada, and received numerous awards and honors for her work in litigation. For these reasons and many more, Louise Arbour is definitely on any top 10 list of influencers of our time. Arbour is from Montreal, and big up, because if you didn't know, I grew up there too. She's a graduate of Université de Montréal, where she obtained a bachelor's in law with distinction in 1970. After moving on and completing an appointment as a law clerk for the Supreme Court of Canada, she was called to the Bar of Quebec in 1971 and began her career with the Law Reform Commission of Canada in 1972. Over the following 20 years, Arbour served in various capacities in the legal community as a professor, a dean, a vice president, and a president, being appointed as president of a commission inquiry into prisoner abuse at the Kingston Women's Penitentiary in 1995. So as you can see, Arbour is a real champion of human rights. The next year, with the indictment and conviction of the Serbian president, Arbour became recognized as an icon of international criminal law and indeed as an example of Canadian national barristers. Arbour also holds 27 honorary doctorates and has been recognized across the globe through various awards and acknowledgments for both her lectures and literary contributions to national and international law. She is the subject of the 2005 film Hunt for Justice, in which her character is portrayed as the protagonist in the pursuit to convict President Milosevic and bring his government to justice. So I'm proud to introduce her for honorable mention because she's both an amazing human rights activist and a Canadian. We'll take a short music break, and when we come back, we'll take a look at the bad to the bone rebel who was a pioneer in cross-country travel. Stick around. Welcome back to The Boiling Point. If you're just joining me, I'm GQ, and we're celebrating International Women's Day and International Women's Day Week for this Women's History Month. We've checked out a couple of awesome people who've already impacted history and will continue to influence the future, and we definitely have some key characters coming up that you'll want to note down and check out on your own time. This next lady is a first of firsts, being a figurehead of American history who participated in World War II as a motorcycle messenger for the United States military. So hugely courageous, as I'm sure this was a pretty dangerous job. There's a reason why they say kill the messenger, and I'm sure she was familiar with the notoriety that came with the position. Anyway, Bessie Stringfield was definitely cut from a different cloth. Being born in Jamaica and growing up in America as an orphan, as her parents died when she was young. Stringfield was of mixed background because her father was Jamaican, but her mother was Dutch. And being adopted by an Irish woman in the early 20th century in America must have made this experience a trip for sure. Stringfield was certainly a strong character, endeavoring to teach herself how to ride a motorcycle at 16 and traveling across the United States on her own at 19. This would make her the first Jamaican-American woman to do this and earned her quite a reputation in the United States, which afforded her the opportunity to be a recognized rider and participate in various events across the country. Now, of course, being a woman in America at this time meant ridiculous challenges as a matter of course, regardless of whatever your line of work was. But Bessie, being a black woman and motorcycle stunt rider, meant that she often didn't get paid or get the prizes that she competed for at races or for her performances at shows. She was also not permitted to sleep in accommodations while on tour, but because of her indomitable spirit, she still continued touring the country, and when she couldn't find a place to stay, she would sleep on her bike. In her time in the military, Stringfield traveled across the United States 8 times and would later ride across Brazil, Haiti, and Europe. She's in the Motorcycle Hall of Fame and has an award named in her honor by the American Motorcycle Association called Superior Achievement by a Female Motorcyclist. Stringfield is an American motorcycle legend, having the name Motorcycle Queen of Miami dubbed her because of her amazing skill on a bike, but also because of the work that she's done in the country for the bike community. Experiencing discrimination in the 1950s from police in Florida because, quote, nigger women are not allowed to ride motorcycles, unquote, Stringfield settled this by challenging the police chief and proving her ability on a bike, and later started her own bike club called Iron Horse Motorcycle Club. Even though she passed away in 1993, she'll still live on as a motorcycle legend and a bike hero in my book, because she kept riding all the way up until she died at 82. That's awesome. Coming back to Canada, I wouldn't be doing our country justice without mentioning Roberta Jameson. Jameson is an amazing part of First Nations politics and leadership and has been an advocate for First Nations rights in Canada for over 30 years. She's also the president and CEO of Inspire, which is known as Canada's premier Indigenous-led charity, and executive producer of the Inspire Awards, a national broadcast gala honoring Indigenous achievement. According to the Inspire website, she's Mohawk and has enjoyed a distinguished career of firsts. She was the first First Nation woman in Canada to earn a law degree, the first non-parliamentarian appointed an ex-officio member of a House of Commons committee, the first woman Ombudsman of Ontario, and the first woman elected Chief of the Six Nations of the Grand River Territory, where she continues to reside with her family. An accomplished expert in alternative dispute resolution, Roberta also served as a commissioner of the Indian Commission of Ontario. And under Roberta's leadership, Inspire has flourished. They raise funds for government, corporate and private sectors, and their annual disbursements of bursaries and scholarships support Indigenous students in post-secondary education and training, and that's increased sevenfold. There's also an innovative kindergarten to grade 12 Inspire Institute that was launched providing support to educators and communities working to improve educational outcomes with culturally grounded curriculum and techniques. Jameson is also the executive producer of the annual Inspire Achievement Awards. She's earned numerous awards, including most recently the YWCA's President's Award and Women's Executive Network's Canada's Most Powerful Women Hall of Fame, as well as 25 honorary degrees. Crazy. In 2015, Ms. Jameson was recognized by the Public Policy Forum for the outstanding contributions she's made to the quality of public policy and good governance. She's an officer of the Order of Canada, and rounding up, Roberta Jameson is a Canadian icon. So this wraps up our look at powerful women throughout history. I hope you've enjoyed some of my personal favorites, and that you've learned a bit about some amazing people, and maybe even feel a little bit inspired. Gotta say, though, that Bessie Stringfield is definitely up there and one of the top of my favorites, because she likes motorcycles. I mean, how could you not? I want to thank you for joining me, and you can follow me on my Twitter, which is @g_qu, or the show's Twitter, @boilingpointrl, and my Instagram as well is @g_qu. As always, check out the music that I played. It's great playlist material for putting on when you're at home, in the car, or wherever you're going. You can also subscribe to the Boiling Point Facebook page and definitely like the Radio Luria page to get updates on upcoming shows. Take care and deuces!